I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
It's always great to win, obviously. One, another major. This is my third one of the year. Could have won four, actually, but very happy with three.
German golfer Bernhard Langer continues to amaze and inspire. Twice a Masters champion, he was one of the best golfers in the 1980s and 1990s and held the first official number one ranking when it was introduced in 1986. Now at age 59, he set a new standard by passing South African Gary Player with his 10th major title won on the Senior Tour. His latest, the Senior Open Championship at Royal Porthcawl in South Wales. Despite a case of laryngitis and a doctor telling him to rest for the week, Langer knew what he had to accomplish to close out the win.
The mindset was to stay aggressive and play good golf. The goal was to shoot under par or around par, because that would have made it hard for the other guys to catch me. But the conditions were a lot harder. The wind was around 20 miles an hour, sometimes gusting to more, so the scores were not very low today. It was tough for anybody to go under par today.
Windy conditions during the final round played into Langer's trademark precision shots.
My short game saved me a number of times, and then towards the end I started playing a little bit better, hit more greens and had some birdie chances, but only made one, and that was on 18.
American Corey Pavin finished three shots back as no one seemed able to chase Langer.
It's tough out there when the wind's blowing 20, 25 miles an hour, and it's hard to get the ball close. When you do have an opportunity to make a birdie, you try to capitalize on it and get it up and down because you're going to miss some greens.
Meanwhile, at the Green Eagle Golf Course in Hamburg, Germany, the Porsche European Open ended with a much tighter finish. England's Jordan Smith captured his first career title after a playoff with French veteran Alexander Levy.
I had a really good start to the year, and the first aim was just to secure my tour card, which I managed to do. And then the second goal was to win an event, which I've managed to do, thankfully.
Levy was the tournament's defending champion.
My dream was just to win this tournament, just for my birthday present in 2 days. And I didn't do that.
Although he came up short, he was pleased.
I think it was the long game. I hit some pure shot. I struggled a bit today on the putting, but I think I play really good golf, and I improve my game week after week, and that's good. That's really nice.
As for Smith's experience,
it's been nerve-wracking at times, but I've really enjoyed it.
And it seems he's sometimes confused with another Jordan. Three-time major champion, American Jordan Spieth.
People got that name mixed up quite a bit, but no, I'm very delighted.
The Bridgestone Invitational tees off this week in Akron, Ohio. It's a limited field event for top players. England's Ross Fisher is happy to be back after several years.
You've played well if you're in events like this. So I've missed this event for a good 4 or 5 years ago. So, I've missed this place. It's a good track, one that you always look forward to coming back to.
Tongchai Jaidi of Thailand is one of many international players from Asia at the Bridgestone.
I think it's very, very proud to represent my country, because I know it is a lot of players come from different countries. This World Golf Championship, and hopefully, I think is we see a lot of Asian players been here. Many players. I think even from Korean, Japan, and China.
He thinks good scores will be made around the greens.
Putting is very important because the green is really fast, and then there's a lot of slope on the green. You have to be the right place to be putting. I think it's the key thing, this golf course, you have to be perfect. Not even putt, not even tee shot. You have to be everything perfect.
Fisher agrees perfection is needed on the Firestone Country Club South Course, which has seen few changes in nearly 20 years.
It's a good stern test of golf. It's very much in front of you. It's a long golf course, added in with the heat this week that we're going to get, over 30 degrees plus. Ball will be flying quite a long way. But it's an exciting week, always.
Tongchai Jaidi just hopes he has the right clubs.
Equipment very important for everyone also, because, now you have to be long. You have to hit ball a long, long way. That's why you have to be easy for play golf. At the moment, the dueling the court, the setup the court is quite long. For me, I think enjoy my life, enjoy my own game.
After co-sponsoring the seventh running of the three-nation two-week-long Silkway Rally, as well as hosting the Shanghai Grand Prix Formula One race circuit since 2004, along with local car rallies, China is showing a growing interest in motorsports. Despite urban pollution and traffic congestion, China's fascination with the automobile and racing reflect its growing middle class and economic clout. Eric Harwit, professor of Asia Studies at the East-West Institute in Hawaii, and who follows the Chinese car market, tells us motorsports has followed a natural progression for China.
They've become a society that wants to use their cars not just for commuting, but to go out in the countryside, to have picnics, to travel around the country, or maybe even outside of the country. And now this is the next step, to use cars for motorsports and to enjoy watching people racing cars, see how fast they can go. The element of speed comes into their love of sports. So this is just kind of a natural progression, I think, from people who, as you said, 30 years ago were riding bicycles, or if they had a car, it was maybe a very old Chinese domestically made vehicle. Now they're able to see the latest sports cars zooming around modern tracks built in their own country.
Are these Chinese made cars, or are they vehicles from all over the world?
The race cars would be vehicles from all over the world. I don't think the Chinese domestic makers are quite up to that level where they can manufacture the cutting edge race cars. So I think it's the Toyotas and the Hondas and Fords and other vehicle producers, Ferraris from around the world that are actually making the vehicles that the Chinese are watching.
There are hundreds of local car rallies going on, motocross events, touring car championships, the two-week-long Silkway Odyssey across the desert. The Chinese are getting in quite a few different events in the car racing industry.
This international race is really something that piques people's interest. The Chinese are very curious about foreign countries, so when they get to see cars traveling across Russia and Kazakhstan and various other countries in Central Asia, in their own far west, they not only see the excitement of the racing, but they also have a chance to maybe learn a little bit about those other cultures where the cars are passing through.
Is this happening all across the country? We know China has some serious air quality issues in many cities.
China has limited real estate, so many of these race tracks will be built out in the countryside. So in areas where I think there's less pollution.
How does the Chinese Communist Party look at growing interest in so many overseas foreign sports like basketball, U.S.-style football, and now motorsports?
Well, the Chinese want to be a global power, not just in the economy, not just, I guess many would say, in the military, but also they want to be a sports power. So if they want to compete at the Olympics, if they want to be seen as national champions in the kind of things that people follow, which is in many cases sports, then they have to be players.
Eric Harwit says he expects world-ranked Chinese race car drivers in the next 5 to 10 years. Both popular writer, blogger, and film director Han Han and actor Jimmy Lin are race car drivers. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.